time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 180 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens,
and sometimes ducks
and geese.
We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton, but most importantly,
we hug chickens every day
and we kiss them too. Don't forget, we brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Bel Air, Maryland. Holly, and what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
This is a steaming hot mug of breakfast blend,
but it's in the afternoon,
but it's delicious.
Are you ready to sip some of that delicious breakfast coffee in the afternoon and chat?
I am, but first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. They're here, new and improved, Grubly's World Harvest.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats, plus orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein, perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
Grubly Farms makes food and treats for healthy pets and planet.
To support us and Grubly Farms, use the link grubly.co/coffee. Try it today. Okay, so the chicks are here.
Chicks are here.
Man, they're just over a week old now.
Mm-hmm.
They are so cute.
Beautiful little babies.
Oh my goodness. They're so cute and running around.
We do have a funny story though.
Okay.
I went to the post office and I grabbed the box. You and I were ready to do our opening. We ordered 12 beautiful baby chicks and there were 13 in the box.
Yes, Ginger. Thank you. Thank you for Holly.
Yes.
Holly got the extra 13th chick.
I do believe it's an extra brown leghorn. And I'm not sad about that.
Ginger, is it? You have to let us know.
We really don't know what it is. We're assuming, I think she looks very much like a leghorn, but
Holly's
I don't
got
know for sure.
Five chipmunks over there.
No, I've got six chipmunks.
Oh, six chipmunks.
Six chipmunks and two feverals.
Yeah. So
two big yellow fluff balls. I can tell the leg bar. I can tell the Dorkings very easily because of the extra toe. And then we just have chipmunks.
Yeah, so we've been chick spamming ya. I mean, sleeping chicks, crested chicks.
They're so cute.
It's been a chickapalooza over here.
It has been chickapalooza. You know the other thing I've had? Woolapalooza. All of our sheep are shorn. A giant thank you to my husband.
It's exactly as I predicted, heat to AC. It went from miserable, like 45 degrees to 85 degrees. So now
it went from miserable to miserable.
I mean, the good thing about our studio is it's underground. So
okay,
it's always cold no matter what season it is.
Our studio in the summer. In the summer, I'm like, let's go in the cave and record. I love it.
It's always the same temperature though, cold.
We're going to the chicken cave. Yeah, but when it's 90 degrees outside and we're down here in the chicken cave, it's good.
Yeah, it really is. Although I have a blanket on me right now because I'm cold.
Oh, you do, don't you? Well, you have a dress on.
Yeah, I'm cold, man. Other than that, we're kind of just doing our chick thing and having fun with it.
Enjoying the hot spring.
Oh, yeah.
Concentrating on getting some stuff done. The goose house will be arriving before too long.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Does the goose house get a disco ball or a chandelier?
Chandelier, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. We got fancy schmancy that up.
And on that note, if you're listening to our show and you're loving it, head on over to Apple Podcast and leave us a written review. We just got one last week. Oh, it made our day. We love hearing your kind words. It really does put a smile on our face. And when you're there, hit that subscribe button because you never want to miss an episode. That way it's already loaded and ready to go. And it's a free way to help our show grow. And hey, go to Spotify. If you listen over there, hit that 5 stars and hit subscribe over there too.
If you're looking for other ways to help support the show, you can tell a few chicken loving friends about us. You can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can check out our Etsy shop. T-shirts, mugs. You can become a patron of the show, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. And the other thing you can do to help support the podcast is visit our website and our show notes, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
quick shipping from nestera.us.
For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the April box, I absolutely love the chick leg bands and the organic soap set with hen decoration.
I am loving the Chicken Spirit long sleeve tea and those chick vitamins. They could save a chick for sure.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality, rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today.
Quack, 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 quack.
Breed Spotlight, yeah.
You actually got me with that one. I did not expect that.
This week's Breed Spotlight is...
the call duck.
I was calling.
You were calling. Yes, you were.
I was like, quack, quack, quack.
Yes.
So, yeah, this week's Breed Spotlight is the call duck, and you're going to understand why when we get to our main topic. We have a nice surprise for you for our main topic.
Well, we were loving the call ducks when we saw them at the Ohio Nationals.
They're so cute.
There's so many of them. They're so cute. The adorable call duck is essentially a bantam duck.
Yes.
They are significantly smaller than the ducks in the class, but while they may be tiny and cute, they have a lot to say.
Oh, really? They do. I was just thinking to myself, what would a flock of bantams and call ducks look like? Oh, my God.
Ridiculously cute. So the calls are one of three APA-recognized bantam duck breeds, the other two being the bantam mallard and the East Indy ducks, which are beautiful black ducks.
Right.
These little birds have been around for at least a few hundred years. Here in the U.S., there are two color varieties of the call duck that were included in the American Poultry Association Standard of Perfection in 1874.
The white and the gray.
Now, the gray has mallard coloring.
Right.
It's just, we're going to say cute like 500 times during this spotlight. They are heritage breed ducks, though they are plentiful enough that they do not need to appear on the Livestock Conservancy's conservation list.
If you think about, we sing the song "Short People Ain't Got No Legs." This would be the duck version.
They're little stumpies.
They don't got no legs. They have very small legs.
The calls first arrived in the UK in the 1850s, and they probably showed up in the U.S. not too long after. I mean, we know they were in the 1874 printing, so they were around.
They were here. Nobody could see them because they were tiny.
Invisible duck. The name call duck comes from an early use of these little birds to call wild ducks into traps. If you've ever been around call ducks, you know that they do have a lot to say. Wild ducks would hear them and they would fly in to join the party. Now in the Netherlands, what they called traps were these very large funnel traps. Picture a high tunnel that you use for growing plants.
Right.
It's sort of like that. But instead of the vinyl on a high tunnel would have been mesh.
Right.
So it looked essentially clear. The Dutch called these traps decoy.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Yep. And so the little ducks became decoy ducks.
So sad for them.
I didn't do any further research.
I mean, wouldn't want to.
They're all swimming around in there, and it's like they're huge things. They really are like a high tunnel.
They're the decoy duck to get you in there, get the other big ducks in there.
Now, there was one historian who said that they didn't think it was ever the call ducks that were used as the decoys. The reality here is there's just not a lot of good, reliable information.
Now, the girls and I have watched this movie called Migration on Peacock.
Oh, have you seen it? Okay.
It's all about this family of ducks that goes on this migration from a pond to Jamaica and all the stuff they go through.
Okay.
And you have a different appreciation of what they kind of come through afterwards. And you're like, seriously? Mm. I've watched it now twice, once with Ella, once with Sophia.
Okay.
I don't want to watch it again.
Oh, well, you don't have to watch it with me. That's fine. Now, like I was saying, it's surprisingly difficult to find any in-depth information about the early development of these cute little birds. I think I've called them cute little birds like 10 times already, but they are.
Oh, yeah.
Most sources claim that call ducks came from mallards and were developed in the Netherlands, then made their way to the UK. They have the mallard coloring, so of course that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Other sources said they arrived in the Netherlands via Asia. And, you know, that's not unusual. The Japanese bantam ended up in the Netherlands first.
Right.
But this theory is starting to seem unlikely because there's no evidence at all of their existence in Asia. Historians and other researchers believe that the small ducks that appear in both European and Asian art dating from the 16 and 1700s simply depict ducklings and not call ducks.
Which could be.
I did look up some of the examples, and what you would see was two ducks with the exact same markings, big duck, little duck. Mm-hmm. That's a mom and a duckling.
That's a duckling. I mean, and the thing is, these ducks are clearly not ducklings. Ducklings have a much different look. These ducks are...
They're fully feathered. They look adult plumage.
Right. They look like a little duck.
Chris Ashton, a UK author and waterfowl breeder, hypothesizes that call ducks may be a spontaneous genetic mutation, specifically a genetic dwarfism that can crop up in pretty much any mallard flock, which is an interesting theory. In Australia, there's a breeder with a large, close flock of mallards, and he did have such a mutation occur. So now in Australia, call ducks are being enthusiastically bred. And this could explain the reason why there are no records of foundation breeds or any other type of development of the call duck in Europe.
It would make sense that it's just a genetic flaw within the breeding of regular duck.
Right.
That one gene is off or mutated, and then you have these little ducks. So
if you're super interested in this and you want to do some more research, you want to look up specifically the gene for dwarfism in domestic ducks.
Right.
And there are some studies and things that are useful. But as far as the history goes, I think his theory makes a lot of sense.
They weren't bred from something. They were a mutation within their own breed.
And then people kept selecting and breeding them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then once you have that gene in one and you breed it to another, you're going to continue to get it.
Exactly.
And that's how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty easy to really grasp that probably happened. Now, unlike standard ducks, the call ducks' heads, they're short and wide and rounded instead of oblong, okay? Which makes them look cuter.
Very.
Their heads are big for a little duck. That adds to their adorableness and how they look. Now, they have large and bright and alert eyes. They have a pretty small, pretty triangular bill. It's short and thick. The neck is short and thick. The colors of their short, sturdy legs depend on their own color variety. So, you know, I like the yellow legs. Most ducks have yellow to orange legs.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty standard mm-hmm. for the ducks. So let's look at the size. The standard calls for the females to weigh in at about 1 pound, 4 ounces, and the males at about 1 pound, 10 ounces. So they're about the same size, minus 6 ounces.
It averages out probably to about 1.5 pounds.
Yeah, they're going to be about the same size. And we talked about this before with the ducks. Sometimes the duck hens are bigger. The girls are bigger than the boys.
Yeah.
In this instance, they're both about 1.5 pounds or give or take a little. And they come in several different color varieties. Now, the APA does recognize 9 varieties. Okay, that's a lot.
It is.
Okay, so when you go into that call duck variety, let's go through the colors that are recognized. So we have the blue bibbed.
The blue fawn.
The buff.
Butterscotch.
The chocolate.
Gray.
The pastel.
Snowy.
And white. Snow white.
Snow white. But they are two
different
colors.
Snowy and white, are they the same or are they different?
They're two different colors, yeah.
Okay, that's weird, but okay, we'll go with it. So the UK has even more color varieties. Okay, let's go into this. The silver.
Magpie.
The apricot.
And yellow-bellied.
You yellow-bellied little call duck.
Yeah.
You yellow-bellied. Can you tell I've been watching so many Westerns with my parents?
Yes, I can, yes.
INSP on Infinity.
Okay.
Go watch your Westerns.
Oh,
you'll be yellow-bellied. Okay, so now Metzer Farms even has some of the beautiful penciled call ducks.
Yeah, I don't think the penciled are APA accepted, but they're beautiful.
They are pretty.
I really like them.
Now, here we go. This is what everybody wants to hear about. Call ducks are not known for being great layers, but their cuteness, they're the Gucci duck, Gucci duck.
Oh, this is our Gucci duck?
This is the Gucci duck.
Designer duck.
They tend to lay seasonally, more like geese. Okay? So we saw that as few as 24 per season. That's one of the smallest amounts of egg laying that I think we've seen across the board.
Uh-huh. That's like turkey levels.
And as many as 75. That's still one of the lowest numbers we've seen across the board for egg laying.
Right, right.
So this duck, the call duck, is more like a beloved pet.
Oh,
that
yeah.
you occasionally get an egg from.
Right, exactly.
If you're going to go into call ducks for their egg laying properties, don't do it.
Right.
You're going to be disappointed. So you're not going to get them as layers, okay? Their eggs would be great. They'll be delicious.
A seasonal. They'd be like a seasonal treat.
You could do sliders with the duck eggs, mm-hmm. the call duck eggs.
Anywhere that a bantam egg would look cute, you could do a bantam duck egg.
You could.
That would be super cute.
Super cute. All these different ideas, okay? So they're great for showing. That's the other
thing. They are so popular as showbirds. They also make fantastic family pets and companions.
Gucci ducks.
They can also be great garden helpers, and they poop. So that means they can be a great part of permaculture or regenerative ag system.
I mean, I really think that you have to come into this knowing that you're going to get this duck purely as a pet. And
the eggs are just a little treat that you get.
They're a little treat that you're like, oh, cool.
Right.
Yeah. But for garden purposes, for every other purposes, they're just like every other duck.
Now, they do fly.
They're
and
small.
They fly well. So you'd either have to supervise them very closely and or build them an aviary-style run.
Yeah, you could be out there standing with them and all of a sudden they just take off.
Right.
And that's not going to be cool for your biosecurity. So,
no.
Or for their safety.
Exactly. Both.
So,
problems.
You know, you may want to think about building a larger aviary where they stay within. They don't come out.
Right.
Give them way more space. Mm-hmm. And if they come out, you're carrying them in your Gucci. You're not letting them just go fly across the sky. Again, if you watch Migration, you would know. Yeah. So we don't need them flying to Jamaica. That's
for sure. Not really.
So here's the burning question. Everybody wants to know who wants a Gucci duck. Where do we get them?
Murray McMurray Hatchery does offer call ducks, though they are currently sold out.
Because they're so popular, everybody wants a Gucci duck.
Check in with Metzer Farms. They do have several colors available. If you're interested in showing, join the American Poultry Association, and you can connect with breeders and other call duck enthusiasts.
It's amazing. They're so adorable.
Adorable.
Let's say what we mean. They're cute. They're Gucci. They're adorable.
Fun. I mean,
everything.
If you're looking for a pet to live in your garden and work with you in your garden, you can't go wrong with these little guys.
You can carry them around with you.
They do talk a lot.
Okay. So if you have the call duck, give us a story, mention us, hit mention, put our name in, then we can reshare. Just tagging us, it doesn't allow us to reshare your stories. You have to hit the mention button, and we want to reshare everybody's story that we can. Okay, so after listening to this amazing breed spotlight, and we know that we have a really exciting main topic coming because we're going to be talking about ducks, right? Because
yes.
We're doing all this. Before Katie and Mark even get on here, we want to talk about there's going to be an opportunity for somebody out there to win a $100 gift certificate for Metzer Farms. This is huge, people. This is big. This is going to be on our Instagram. It's a giveaway. We're partnering with Metzer Farms to give away a $100 gift certificate.
Get yourself some waterfowl.
To get some ducks. Let's get excited about waterfowl. Let's add some ducks to some flocks.
I got to tell you, after the breed spotlight and listening to Mark talk about how wonderful they are, I want call ducks now.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come on. They're going to be talking about it. And I think it's exciting. And one lucky person out there mm-hmm. is going to win $100 in ducks. So once you listen to this, look for the giveaway on our Instagram page. It's going to be on our Instagram page. You're going to have to follow us and Metzer Farms and tag a friend to enter.
Right.
So look for this giveaway. We'll be going up. And good luck to everybody.
I could do a lot of damage with a $100 gift certificate.
You could, definitely.
Are you ready to dive into the fascinating world of backyard ducks? Look no further than Metzer Farms, your premier destination for top quality waterfowl. Whether you're a seasoned breeder or just starting out, Metzer Farms has everything you need to elevate your flock to the next level. And if you're passionate about call ducks, you're in for a treat.
Metzer Farms hatches a stunning variety of call ducks, meticulously bred for their miniature size, beauty, and calm temperament. From snowy whites to vibrant colors, each duck is a masterpiece waiting to grace your backyard. Visit MetzerFarms.com today to browse their extensive selection and start your journey into the wonderful world of waterfowl. Metzer Farms, where passion meets perfection. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. They're back with an innovative new product. You're going to want to check this out.
It's an extra large set, a 14-pound feeder and 3-gallon water with steep anti-roost lids. They're made of super durable material. You can either stand them on legs or hang them on brackets on your coop or fence. They're easy to remove and clean too. Plus, they look awesome.
We personally use Roosties and we're huge fans. So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, check out the Roosties store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes.
UK chicken lovers, this one's for you. Get happy, healthy hens with EcoNourish's live calci worms. Enrichment, nutrition, and protection in one tasty, sustainable pack. Scientifically proven to support glossy feathers, strong laying and skeletal health,
protect from disease, and improve gut health and immunity. You'll also bust flock stress by stimulating natural instincts and get eco bragging rights. Visit econourish.co.uk and use the code COFFEE15 for 15% off your first order. Your chickens and the planet will hug you for it. Okay, we're ready to move on to main topic. Yeah. Hey, everybody, we have some special guests here today for our main topic, and we are beyond excited. We're ducking excited to bring you the Metzers, Mark and Katie Metzer from Metzer Farms. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the table. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very excited. Been looking forward to it since we first met you guys.
We hit it off when we met you guys. You are so fun and so energetic, and you're in the business of ducks and geese. Can you get better than that? I don't think you can.
I don't think it can get better. I love my job. It is so fun. Katie could speak to it too. She came from school counseling and now she's a duck farmer / hatchery manager. So
you were telling us how much you actually love this and your passion for it shines through. When we met you, it was like you guys were just radiating happiness of what you do. And that made us feel happy too. Love it.
I think you guys do a good job of bringing it out in people too. I mean, honestly, though, you guys, your feedback makes it fun to give people, I don't know how to say it better. Your feedback helps bring on conversation and gets things out of people. So I think it's thanks to you too.
That's sweet. Thank you.
Sorry. The reality is we just want to hear about all the ducks and geese. And so if you are talking, we are happily listening.
I am your conduit between ducks, geese, and you guys.
Yes. You are. So Holly Ann, you start us off.
You're the third generation of Metzers to farm waterfowl. Can you tell us a little bit of history, background of Metzer Farm?
Yeah. So I'm living in Tennessee now because we opened up a new hatchery in Tennessee, but I'm from California, born and raised. And so on the farm that I was born on, raised on, is our original duck farm and hatchery. Quite some time ago, my grandfather moved into the Salinas Valley as a teacher. He loved gardening, and Salinas Valley is a great place to be a gardener. Makes you look a lot better than maybe your skills actually are. And so part of his gardening strategy was to have ducks for snail and slug control.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So he bought some ducks, had them in his garden. And at that same time, my dad was in high school and then went to college at UC Davis. And on my dad's, I think last year before graduating, somebody came to my grandfather and said, I want to buy 10,000 balut a week. So balut are partially incubated duck eggs.
Wow.
Yeah. It's typically eaten by Filipinos.
Yes.
And so my dad heard that and he said, you know what? I don't think I want to become a large animal science person. So I'm going to start a business officially as Metzer Farms. So he took marketing classes, he took accounting classes, and then science classes about poultry at UC Davis. The day after graduation in Davis, he had somebody teach him how to sex a baby duck. And he came back to Salinas and started the farm. An interesting note, though, is that that person that told my grandfather he wanted to buy 10,000 Balut, never saw him again. So we never sold that man Balut, but his interest caused my dad to change his major, start Metzer Farms, and then start hatching baby ducks.
Wow. I love that story. And I love the fact that I thought it was your grandfather, but your grandfather's passion for gardening and ducks was there to facilitate your dad's passion. And then your dad saying, look, I don't want to do this. I want to raise ducks for good, you know, for backyards, to do all the things. I love that.
To add in, my grandpa was doing hatching as a hobby and selling locally to some stores, but he never had the passion to turn it into a business. His passion was teaching English and teaching at high schools and community colleges.
Great. And so Mark kind of followed in similar footsteps too, in that when he joined, he had gone to college at Cal Poly and studied ag business as well, and then went and worked for a produce producer in the Salinas Valley for a few years. He moved abroad and taught English in South Korea. Wow. And then came back, and he actually taught kindergarten, which I think is just the cutest visual to picture Mark with a classroom full of kindergartners.
I can see that with his personality. I can 100% see
that. I bet they loved you.
They, yeah. I'm sure they did.
Teaching is difficult when kids are so cute. You let them get away with things, and then they own you after that. So it was a learning experience for sure.
It was your practice in herding ducks. Yeah. And then you came back to the farm and started working with your dad. And Mark is really unique in that he has such a vision for innovation and change and making processes better. He's constantly coming up with new ideas of how we can improve and grow the business and, you know, really provide the best quality waterfowl and hook up our customers with something really unique. And Mark and his dad work so well together as far as, you know, different family businesses. Sometimes there's different dynamics and tension, and they're buddies and they work so well. And then for me, getting to join Metzer Farms has been such a treat. I've been a school counselor for the last 9 or 10 years. And actually, I was over at the occupational therapist's house that worked for my school district as well, playing with her kids, and they had some ducks there. And I was playing with her kids and the ducks, and I said, you know, Allie, I actually met a duck farmer. And she says, what? I said, yeah, this guy, Mark. And she says, Mark Metzer? No way. He gave me these ducks so I could give him my kids for Christmas presents. I went to high school with him. He's the nicest guy. His family, blah, blah, blah. And everything was, the rest is history. But so
the
now
rest
I get
is- to be... The rest is that he was at your door with a duck in a box. I think we should clarify, just make sure that everybody knows that we all did meet at Cooptastic in Alabama this year, and we got to spend 3 days together and really get to know each other. We had no Wi-Fi. We're in 200 acres of woods on a lake, and we all just talked and had a great time. And
showing up to the woman that's going to be your future wife with a duck in a box sounds like a really good strategy.
I actually did ask him one time when we were dating if he could bring a box of ducklings to Carmel Valley for me and my girlfriends and their kids to play with. And he goes, what do you think I am, a petting zoo? I was like, come on, bring me some ducks. And now I get to see him Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of every week. So
those are your hatch days?
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, I love that story. It's so cute. Did the duck have a little bow on?
Yes, and a top hat.
Okay, before we go into the next question, Mark, do you know what breeds your grandfather was working with in the very beginning?
Yeah, I think his first flock was Khaki Campbell.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, we're going to move on because you kind of touched on this a little bit, and you're talking about the new hatchery in Memphis. And, you know, we were talking about a lot of what FedEx and the Postal Service, we're going to have you guys explain all this, but it's one of the major reasons that you went to Memphis to open up a new farm there is to help on the travel with the ducklings and all that good stuff. And you guys moved to Memphis to get this all started. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So because we specialize in waterfowl, yeah, we're in California, but we're shipping waterfowl throughout the country. It's not like we're regional and just shipping to the West Coast. And so because of that, we're on one side of the country and we're shipping long distance. So we were outgrowing our current hatchery in California and thought, well, if we're going to have to build another hatchery, might as well put it at the location of the FedEx World Hub, which is in Memphis. And the reason is that, yes, we use the post office to ship all of our birds, but the post office doesn't own any planes. So nearby shipments will be trucked by the post office to that person's local post office. Anything above and beyond, I think about 250 miles, the post office has contracted with FedEx to say, hey, this box needs to go to Dallas, Texas. Can you fly it? So what FedEx does for not only the birds, but all of their packages is every day flights go from, let's say, San Jose to Memphis and then Memphis to Dallas. Memphis is the hub. Every FedEx plane flies into Memphis. Boxes get sorted. And then every plane goes out to every other airport. So everything's going through Memphis. And so by our constructing a hatchery in Memphis, we could cut off that first leg. From our hatchery in Memphis, we take the birds to the FedEx hub, and they're flown directly to the customer's nearest local airport.
So innovative. I love that, because you're cutting off that first transport to get to Memphis. You're already there. So the birds don't have to have that leg of the trip, which is awesome. And people can get them quicker. They're less in the air or on ground at that point. And I found it really interesting that every bird that you buy from any hatchery in the U.S. is going through Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, unless it's within, I think, a 250-mile range of the where it comes from. Yeah, it's going through Memphis. So there are a lot of birds flying through Memphis.
And crickets and bees and anything that's live. This is the live sorting facility for the Postal Service and FedEx. Okay.
And we can't wait to come visit you there.
Oh, yeah. Please do. We are ready.
We need to drive, though, so I can fit like call ducks in the back of the car.
What?
Oh, call ducks on the way home.
That's a long drive, Holly Ann. We'll be flying out there.
You know what the carbon footprint is? Every time we fly someplace where we could be driving. Plus, if we drive, we can fit animals in the back of the Subaru.
So how big is...
ongoing debate.
So how big's the farm in Memphis?
So what we do here is differently than what we do in California. California, we have our hatchery, we have our farm on the same property, and then we also have a separate farm in Hollister, which is about an hour away. Here in Tennessee is we have our hatchery in Memphis, and then we work with farming families in Tennessee and Missouri, and they grow our ducks for us and then give us the eggs. So we'll have a driver go out once or twice a week to the farms to go collect all the eggs and then bring them back to our hatchery. So our facility in Memphis is about three times larger than it is in California. So we built with the expectation to be able to grow, because it's difficult if you build to the current size that you need and then have to expand. It's a lot more difficult that way.
It's like poultry math or chicken math or duck math. Always build double or triple what you think, because you're going to have to rebuild anyway if you don't do that. Yeah. That's great that you're including the local farms and the economy in this and giving them the opportunity for their ducks to come in. Wow.
And it works really well for us because we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket. You know, nowadays with avian influenza, if you have a big farm where you have a lot of your birds housed and you test positive, you're losing a lot of your genetics. And so we have several small farms where the families are using traditional farming practices and practicing really good animal husbandry, taking care of the birds, and we're able to spread out our genetics. So it's a neat thing.
Well, especially with waterfowl, you're going to have to be really careful with biosecurity at this point, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, biosecurity and then taking care of the animals the right way. That was a high priority for us. And so we make visits to the farm, and the farmers really do know and respect the risks out there.
And so we provide the ducklings and the shavings and the feed and any of the vet services and the biosecurity protocol. So they're really supported, and it's a good relationship.
Sounds great.
Does.
So we know that lots of people are getting into ducks. Like, I feel like ducks are the big homestead thing right now. You know, it was goats for a while, then of course chickens, but ducks, we recently heard a statistic from one of the big feed companies that ducks are the fastest growing segment of poultry right now. You have all these people going out to get ducks. What do they need to know when they get their ducklings home?
Well, in terms of brooding principles, it's very similar to chickens. The biggest difference would be the water, and they grow faster. So ducks enjoy water. Their name is waterfowl. So they will walk in the water or play in the water if they have access to. We have recommendation to elevate or raise the water up in the brooder so that they're not walking through the water. This can be done on a brick or Tupperware. And then because they are more likely to splash, you could put marbles in the water so that they're not kicking up water. Some people use a cookie cooling sheet, cookie rack, and they put it above a baking pan in the brooder. And so if there's any splashing, it just falls into the pan.
That's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah. That's the biggest difference, is the brooder and the water. And ducks will grow faster than a chicken. So just know you'll need to expand that brooder at a faster pace than you would if you had chickens.
And they need heat.
They need heat less time than chicks, but they still need heat. So that's the other thing we're going to get into. There are so many people out there that there's a misconception that the ducklings don't need heat. And that's what we're trying to clear up here is, yes, when you bring these ducklings home and put them in the brooder, just like your chicks, they will need heat. And because they're ducklings, doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to be swimming day one. They're not. They're not waterproof yet, which leads us into the next question.
Well, I do want to jump in and talk about geese. Our experience is that geese need the heat longer than ducks. So just because a bird is bigger than another bird doesn't mean it doesn't need heat.
Okay.
Yeah. So when we brood, because we will brood ducks and geese together, and we find that the geese do tend to be closer to the heat and position themselves to be warmer than the duck.
Do they grow slower than the ducks?
No, geese grow super fast. They remind me of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. They have their feet. It looks like they are wearing scuba shoes when they walk because their webs like stop on top of each other. They're like mini dinosaurs.
Wow. Ducklings are very cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, okay, we'll move on to the water thing in a minute. So what we didn't really touch base on is like the niacin for the ducklings also. And do the geese, they also need the niacin, correct? So any kind of waterfowl, they need a food that's going to include that pretty quickly.
That's correct. Most feed now that you can buy at the feed store has the appropriate amount of niacin for ducks and geese, but that is something that you have to be aware of, that it does have it. And if it doesn't, you can use brewer's yeast, or there's niacin tablets that you could buy at a CVS or Walgreens.
Okay.
I do want to say our website, if you just search niacin in our search bar on our website, we have 4 blogs about it and then a nutritional requirement of it on our website. So any questions about that, you could find on our website by just searching it.
A long time ago, when I first got chickens, thought about getting ducks. And my husband was like, we're not getting ducks. We're not doing that right now. But I went, this is before the podcast, before anything. And I went over to your website. And I will say, this was many years ago, phenomenal. Any information that you need is right there. You really do try to educate people on taking care of them. And sometimes I feel like people who get waterfowl, this is what I was kind of getting at before, they think they have less things they have to do, that they're more self-sufficient. And it's not the truth. When they're chicks, they're ducklings, they're goslings, they need the same amount of care in the brood as the chicks do.
Totally agree.
And Mark takes that kind of customer service really seriously. When he was training me or telling me about what we need to do here, he said that it's our job to help our customer know what they need to do before they get the babies and to be successful with it. If they fail, it's our fault because we didn't give them the right kind of resources and the right kind of way to be successful. And so, you know, like you said, trying to have a resource that provides it in different ways, in different language, and makes it accessible to people.
That's a teacher in you, Mark. You're trying to teach, and I love that. And it's so important that, you know, somebody that comes to you is equipped, and you give those resources out. And it, like I said, this was many years ago, and your website was amazing then. And we've looked at it, and the amount of information on there is just great.
Thank you. Well, my dad was the one that built that website a long time ago, so I would say credit goes to him.
I will have your website linked in the show notes so people can find it easily. All right. What's the best way to set up a duckling brooder? Like, overall, what should a duckling brooder look like? What do you need to successfully brood a bunch of ducklings?
Yeah. So I would start with a chicken brooder. I would start there. We're going to make the assumption that the people listening know how to have a chicken brooder. The thing I would change or improve would be the water. It's water, water, water for the ducks. It's elevate the water so that the rim of the trough is at about chest height or lower neck height. They'll drink from it just fine. Watch them. If you have different sized ducks or ducks and geese, measure it to the shortest duck. And then that's the first step you can do. If you want to go one step further, it's put some type of wire or cooling rack under the water so that if water spills, they can't go play in the spilled water. And then for keeping the pen dry, what we do is we just top dress with shavings. We don't do a complete clean out. We top dress and we'll do a clean out at the end of their brooding time.
Okay.
That's amazing. So now let's get into waterproofing our ducklings. And when does that come in? At what age? Because it's something that the mom helps them with when you have a broody mom that's going to help the ducklings. But if you're getting ducklings, let's talk about it. What's the process for them?
Yeah. So, well, like you said, in nature, the mom helps with oiling up the baby duck's feathers. And that's why they could start swimming soon after hatch. But if you buy birds from a farm store or from us or from anywhere, they're not going to have that. So they're not waterproof to start out. They don't start producing their own oil until about 5 weeks. And just because they're producing it doesn't mean that they necessarily know how to spread it amongst their body and all that. They're fully feathered at 7 weeks. So with that information, you can have them swim at 2-3 weeks, but you got to make sure the water's not cold. You got to make sure they have access to be able to get in and out of it on their own. And you got to watch them. And then when they're done swimming, you need to make sure they get dry and warm. So it's babysitting until about 6 weeks. It's babysitting them swimming.
Can you keep them out of the water until 6 weeks? Or do they need it even then?
I wouldn't say they have to have it. Well, this is what we recommend is, they don't have to have 24-hour access to swimming water. They need water to drink, but they don't have to be swimming all day.
Right.
And so you could have swimming time in the afternoon. You could have swimming time on the weekends. It's kind of up to you and what works best for your situation, how big your coop is or how big your run is or your yard. Everybody's different and everybody has a unique situation.
It sounds like from 2 to 6 weeks, it's highly supervised and they have to be dried afterwards to keep their bodies from going to being hypothermic. The 2 to 6 weeks is supervised drying after. And then after 6 or 7 weeks, then when they're fully feathered, those oils and they're preening and those oils are covering their feathers and they're waterproof at that point.
Correct. Yeah. It's free for all after that.
And you can tell by looking at how the oil or how the water kind of beads off the back of a duckling, whether it's waterproof yet or not. So if you notice that their feathers are still getting really damp and kind of matted to their body, they're not yet waterproof until you can see it roll off their back.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Do you ever have a bird that can't waterproof themselves?
I haven't experienced that, but okay.
They can get wet feather. So later in their life, if their oil gland or something gets clogged, they'll need to have a bath and kind of help them wash that off and to reestablish their waterproofing. But later in life, sometimes adult birds, you see them kind of get that kind of mangy looking feather that they're not waterproof anymore, and they need a little bit of care to re-waterproof themselves.
Okay.
So we can get their bikinis and bathing suits out at 6 or 7 weeks and get them going with those.
If they prefer, my experience is they actually prefer to swim nude, but
they like the skinny dip.
Yes.
Okay. So this is so much fun talking to Mark and Katie that we want to make this a double episode. And this episode, we're talking all about ducklings. I always want to say chicks because I'm a chicken lady, right? But I have to look for ducklings and goslings. So we want to transition next week. We want you to listen. We're going to talk about ducks and geese as adults. We want to thank you guys for this week. And we want to tell everybody, listen into next week because you're not going to want to miss this. But thank you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We just want to thank Mark and Katie for really spending a lot of time with us going through duckling care. It's fantastic information. And you're going to be hearing again from Mark and Katie very soon.
They are so fun and one of the most fun couples we've met in a long time. Uh-huh. Just love those two. Okay, so we're ready to move on to
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those duck eggs. Okay. So this week, we're not doing just an overall recipe. Mm-hmm. We want to give you some facts on the differences between duck eggs and chicken eggs. Because right. If you're going to add ducks to your flock or have ducks versus chickens, you may want to know a few fun facts.
Right. The duck eggs and chicken eggs have some differences. We don't consider either one superior to the other. They're both delicious, both practical, both very healthy.
So let's start with one of the most obvious things between duck and chicken eggs is the size differential.
Right.
So hens lay all different size eggs. Some right. can lay smaller, but the average egg of a hen is about 50 grams and 2 ounces. Okay. Now, ducks are the same. If you have call ducks, their eggs are going to be small, like right. a bantam egg. Or if you have regular ducks, their eggs are much larger.
Right.
Okay. So we're looking at 70 grams with 2.5 ounces. That's more than 20 grams more per egg.
That is a substantial difference, enough to throw off your baked goods if you're
right.
doing things by weight. Yeah.
So when you're cooking with duck versus hen, now keep in mind, most of the recipes, unless you go in and say duck egg recipe,
right.
is going to give you how many hen eggs you need.
Right, right.
And that size differential. So you have to know what you're dealing with. So let's talk about 50 grams versus 70 grams and look up those and do it by weight versus doing it by egg number.
Right.
That's one of the very first things to think about.
And my fact is a simple one, but undeniably true. Duck eggs are very, very strong, and you have really got to whack them to break them open.
Yes. They have, you know,
strong their shell, strong membrane. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can be some fun cracking an egg.
Yes.
And that's really a good thing. Okay. So let's go into the next one. The yolk is larger, and so it's richer, and it has a higher level of fat. So it can be better for baking. It's going to make things richer. Goes back to, it brings in an intense flavor. That higher fat amount is going to make your baked goods really rich. It goes back to measurement. You're going right. to have to measure.
Yeah. Duck eggs are higher in protein and omega-3s, but otherwise the nutritional profile is very similar to chicken eggs.
It is.
I feel like you can't go wrong with either one.
The other thing that we're going to put a caveat in here is that if you're a person that has cholesterol problems, mm-hmm. high cholesterol, or heart conditions, just know if you're eating a duck egg, the duck egg's going to bring in about 620 milligrams of cholesterol for the average size, where the hen egg only brings in 210 milligrams of cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So if you have a cholesterol problem, just know that the duck eggs are going to make that go up a little bit.
You might have to adjust your levels a bit.
Exactly.
So my third fact about duck eggs, and a lot of this is setting the stage for our recipe next week because we're going to have some fun trying some things, fancy stuff. Duck egg whites are larger than chicken whites, as you would imagine, right? Duck egg whites are about 50 grams of your egg, and chicken egg whites are about 35 grams. Duck egg whites are thinner than chicken egg whites. And so if you have a bowl of whites for each animal and you whip them, duck eggs will not hold stiff peaks as long. They will right. start to weep after about 10 minutes.
Right.
Chicken eggs won't weep for about 20 minutes. So we're going to be playing around with this for next week's episode for our recipe. So we're going to do some experimentation and we'll report back next week.
Yeah. I mean, because basically there's less water in the egg itself, in the duck egg.
I'm honestly not sure the physics of it, but it's going to be interesting to look it up and learn and experiment with it.
Okay, here's another thing. They are easier to overcook because of that same reason.
Yeah.
So you're going to have, it's going to be a different time. It's going to be a little bit longer because it's a bigger egg, but then it's going to be easier to overcook and then change them. They have a reputation of being very creamy, but it can go from creamy to rubber very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to watch your time with cooking them.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely can be overcooked easier.
Absolutely. And they have a richer taste that I really like. I mean, I love both. I love chicken eggs. I love duck eggs.
So there's another big thing that we can mention in here is that some people are allergic to chicken eggs. Mm-hmm. It does happen. Our friend Amy over at the Good Egg Company,
right?
She is allergic to chicken eggs. And people who are allergic to chicken eggs sometimes are not allergic to duck eggs.
Right.
We've met multiple people mm-hmm. that have had this.
Yeah.
The genetic makeup is different.
Right.
So you may be able to eat eggs. If you can't eat a regular chicken egg, you may be able to eat a duck egg.
Yeah.
So there are some of the just outward differences of chicken to duck eggs. We find it fascinating. So when you're cooking with them, it's not so much that you're cooking differently. It's just you have to kind of make up for the difference of the way they're
made. Concentrate on the different gifts that you get with each one.
Exactly. Okay. So let's move on to retail therapy. Retail therapy.
Yeah.
This week's retail therapy, we're keeping in with our theme because that's what we does. That's what we duck. And we're talking
Story's Guide to Raising Ducks. Now, this is, once I decided I was getting ducks, this is the first book that I got, and it's a good one. It's written by Dave Holdereed, and at one point, Dave Holdereed was one of the bigger waterfowl breeders in the country.
Right.
He imported some duck breeds. He just did a lot of work, and he's very knowledgeable about the birds. So this book is available right on Metzer's Farm website. You can get it easily. It's essentially a basic but thorough text on raising and keeping ducks.
All the simple things that you may just want to know.
Right.
That may be different than raising chickens. This is a book that's good to have in your library right there at your fingertips. It goes over all of those little nuances that you might not know.
Right. Behavior, housing.
Breeding.
And the breeds themselves.
And the breed spotlights. So this is one that you definitely want to put in your library. And we like the fact that Metzer has, on their website, they do so much duck education.
Yep.
We love that. Those guys over there at Metzer have it going on. And they do have a list of books that they recommend. And this book is on there. So this one, if you are new to getting ducks, I would get the book with it.
Absolutely.
So that you have it right at your fingertips and you can look up anything you want. Check it out. You can get it at Metzer. You can get it on Amazon. Any place where you can buy books.
Yes, indeed. It is great.
And we probably have this linked in our Amazon storefront.
Yeah, I have it on there. Yeah.
Okay. So should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Next week, goose lovers. We are spotlighting the American buff goose. This is going to be a surprise, but Mark and Katie Metzer are joining us to talk about care for your adult ducks.
We had so much fun that we had a pretty long interview with them. So yeah.
Yeah. Cracking the eggs. We are doing duck egg pavlovas with strawberry curd.
We're going to be whipping those eggs.
Whipping the eggs. See how this goes. And retail therapy. Tidewater sandals. Chicken sandals. Check it out.
You need to check this out for sure. Okay. So what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day. And kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening.